Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Word of God, our meditation today is a very familiar story, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. We're going to read just a section of that, Joshua chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. It's page 216 in the Worship Bible. Joshua chapter 5. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a loud blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." And then the conclusion of the matter, going to verse 20 of chapter 6. "When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city." This is the word of our God. Our theme today, faith doesn't ask why. Really? Who of us here hasn't at one time or another looked up to heaven, put your hands up, and said, "Why, God?" I mean, so much of life in this world doesn't seem fair or right. A couple thousand years ago, Asaph, one of the psalmists, wrote a song about his "Why, God" struggle. Psalm 73, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills." Asaph questioned why it is that people who deny God, who ignore him, basically have no time for him, why they seem to prosper, while God's faithful people have all kinds of struggles. Asaph says that this almost caused him to lose his faith. As a pastor, I have conversations with people facing incredible life challenges. And it seems that for some people, there only is one traumatic setback after another in their lives. What these people are asked to carry seems like a burden far too heavy for any individual to bear. And I wonder, why, Lord? Why are you asking your beloved children to walk these dark paths, to carry such heavy burdens, to suffer so much hardship and pain? Now, maybe you are one of those individuals. Maybe right now life seems incredibly overwhelming. You just want to stop the world and get off. Today, when we suggest that faith doesn't ask why, I think it's important for us to understand what we don't mean. Doesn't mean that Christians are not going to wrestle with God's will for their lives. Think of the Apostle Paul with his thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, we don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Was it a speech impediment? Was it poor eyesight? Whatever it was, Paul was perplexed. Lord, I am your servant. I am doing your work. Why are you burdening me with this frustrating affliction? Sometimes I think well-meaning Christians give the impression that having faith means that we are simply going to accept whatever God brings into our lives without ever questioning or asking why. I suppose that's true if we had a perfect faith, but that's never going to happen. And besides, this kind of thinking, I believe, can cause believers to have what I would call an identity crisis when they do find themselves in the midst of faith struggles. They wonder, if I am doubting God, am I really a believer? Understand that God has built into each one of us this natural curiosity, this longing to understand, to question things so that we can make sense of our lives and this world in which we live. And when we become a Christian, we can't just turn that off. So faith doesn't ask why doesn't mean that God wants us stumbling through life, not even attempting to think through or understand what's going on or why things are happening the way that they are. Take Joshua, for example. I mean, Joshua in this text is asked to do something incredibly strange, right? It's time to take Jericho, okay? We're gonna conquer this city. So march around the city for 7 days, blowing trumpets. What kind of crazy battle plan is that, Lord? But God doesn't leave Joshua hanging. He gives him the why. Chapter 6, verse 3, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." The Lord says to Joshua, I'm asking you to do this strange thing because I want to make it crystal clear to you, to my people, and to everyone who ever hears this story that I am the one who's fighting this battle, that my power is going to give the victory, that I will deliver you, that you can trust me. I'm afraid that sometimes when we insist that faith shouldn't question, it shouldn't ask why, that we can shut people down, denying them the opportunity to wrestle a little with God. Remember when Jacob wrestled with God? What was the point of that? God was shaping, he was molding, he was strengthening Jacob. He was preparing him for his next stage of his journey. You know, when I counsel married couples, I tell them, remind them, that it is during times of conflict that their relationship is going to grow the most. In times of conflict, we are forced to stop and listen, to gain a new perspective, to understand our spouse and where he or she is coming from just a little bit better. So, yeah, faith needs to ask why. We need to wrestle with God's will for our lives because God's ways are not our ways, and sooner or later we're going to have to come to grips with that. But it is in the wrestling that we come to know and understand God better. It is in the wrestling that we begin to see His perspective. It is in the wrestling that God opens our eyes to the height, the depth, and the width of how His love is working in our lives. So if someone comes up to you and starts questioning God, don't shut that conversation down. They welcome it. They need to work through this issue in their lives. And who better to have that conversation with than with you, with a believer, someone who has had experience in this, someone who can help them see why you put your faith in God, why you're willing to struggle, to suffer, to persevere, why you believe that faith accepts God's will, that faith just doesn't ask why. Oops. Now it sounds like I contradicted myself, right? Faith doesn't ask why. I mean, that's the definition of faith, isn't it? Faith is complete trust. So what do we mean by that? Perhaps it'd be good to just start with the question, what really is faith? Some people, and I think many Christians, also believe that faith is, that Christian faith is a blind faith. But is our faith really blind? I don't think so. Because I think that there is a reason, that there is a why. In fact, there are a couple thousand whys that we put our trust and our faith in God and in Christ. Blind faith? What if I were to tell you that I have faith that I can get in my car, drive 120, 140 miles per hour toward a solid brick wall, and I can walk away from that? You'd say to yourself, Pastor, you're thinking incredibly foolishly. Your blind faith is going to get you killed. But think about this. Every day, people get into their cars. They drive out on the freeway, 60, 70 miles an hour. Coming toward them, the opposite direction. It's in all kinds of vehicles, cars, huge trucks, also going 60, 70 miles per hour. There's only a couple feet in between those two lanes. If that driver coming toward us would swerve just a little bit. Yet, we don't think about or worry about those kind of things when we get into our car in the morning. Why is that? Blind faith? No, I don't think so. I think it's experience. We drive down the freeway hundreds of times, and it's okay, right? We're still here. People do it all the time. Experience. Joshua's faith was bolstered by the experiences he had with God in his life. Joshua saw and he experienced the kind of power that God has, the kind of things that the Lord can do. Joshua was there, maybe pretty young at the time, but he was there when God brought the 10 plagues down on Egypt, when God split the Red Sea and God's people walked through on dry ground. Joshua was there. He witnessed and experienced God's miraculous preservation of his people for 40 years in the wilderness. Joshua's faith wasn't blind. Joshua saw all of this. He witnessed it with his own eyes. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I'm not Joshua. I didn't walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. So I have not seen and experienced God's power and God's love like that. To which I reply, yes and no. Because we just relived that event, right, as we read it. And in a sense, it's like we've experienced, like we were there. Maybe think about it this way. Can we relate to the horrors that the Jews experienced in World War II? Do we believe that they suffered atrociously? Were we there? No. But there's all kinds of pictures, right? We have reputable individuals sharing their stories. Even though we weren't there, what we have seen and what we have heard has changed and impacted our lives. That's why God inspired and preserved this book, because it is filled with countless accounts, real life accounts of real life people who really witnessed the power and love of God in action. Faith doesn't ask why, means that we see and we hear what God has done in the past, how he says he's going to do something, and then he does it. How he promised that he would rescue God's people from slavery. How he said that he would preserve them through the wilderness. From our human perspective, there were times when, in the eyes of God's people, they thought God isn't going to do what he said he's going to do. But in the end, he did it. And these examples of God's faithfulness are what inspired confidence in Joshua and gave him his unshakable faith. So we need to remember that the Bible is a special book. So the Bible is filled with events that they're just as real as the events that are happening in your life. These are real people sharing their life experiences. You know, in this age of cinema, I think it's sometimes hard to distinguish what is really real and what is not. What's in the movies is not real. But what's in this book is absolutely real. Reputable Eyewitnesses shares with us Jesus' miracles, the story of his death, his resurrection. They're real. And it's my prayer that they would be as real to you and to me as the person sitting next to you right now. Go ahead, take a moment, poke that person just a little bit. Poke them a little bit. Are they real? Yeah. So is God's love for you. So is a Savior, Son of God, who came from heaven to be your Savior. So is his death, his resurrection. It's real. But you know, it's not just the real experiences of real people that help make God more real to us. When we take God at his word, when we do what he says, even when it doesn't make sense, God uses that to strengthen us as well. Again, you think of Joshua. Joshua was asked to do something incredibly crazy, right? March around the city 7 days, blowing trumpets. Really, Lord? This wasn't the first time that God asked Joshua to do something crazy. Just a little bit earlier, God said, "Hey, Joshua, it's time for God's people to cross the Jordan River. So line them all up. Get ready to go." Put the priest in the front carrying the Ark of the Covenant and just start walking through that river. Ah, Lord, but the river is at flood stage. It's incredibly dangerous. In fact, I don't think most of us will make it through alive. This could have been a disastrous leadership decision for Joshua. But he did what the Lord said. And the Lord kept his word. Read about it, Joshua chapter 3. The point is that every time we take God at his word, every time we do what he says, we experience once again his love and his power in action. And our faith is strengthened. So, do you want an unshakable faith? Then do what God says, even when it doesn't make sense, especially when it doesn't make sense. And God asks us to do some things that don't make sense, doesn't he? He says, ask your pastor to sprinkle a couple drops of water on your child's head in my name, the name of the triune God, and immediately your child is redeemed, renewed, my child, safe in my arms. Eat a little bread, drink a little wine, and know that through it, I have just strengthened and refreshed you for your journey through life, even if you don't really feel any different as you walk away. Feed on my word. And even though so much of it still remains a mystery to you, know that through it, I am going to change you. Work on your marriage instead of giving up. And I promise that I'll bless you. wrestle with the demons of your addictions, your illicit sexual cravings, your fear that you won't have enough. And in one way or another, I will give you the victory. When faith doesn't ask why, when it takes God at what he says, God's Spirit strengthens us as he reminds us what God can and will do, as he proves yet again that God always does what he says he'll do, and that he's always working for our ultimate good. Just this past week, I heard about a conversation someone had with a cancer survivor in our congregation. About 2 years ago, she was told she didn't have long to live. It's been a rough and incredibly difficult journey for her. But this is her confession today, that cancer made her faith more real to her than it could have ever been otherwise. Because she can't always make it to church, lots of times she watches us online, she says that if she misses that, if she fails to do her Bible reading or her devotion that day, it's so easy for her to lose hold of the truth. The truth that God is ultimately using all this struggle to strengthen her and for her good. I believe that through her, God has given us another powerful picture of his power and his love in action, and has shown us what he'll do to give us an unshakable faith. Lord, give us such a faith as this. Amen. Please stand.